Appreciate it. Thanks for everybody braving the weather tonight. And so one thing I did notice is there's a couple of, the lesson for next week says seven, but it's six. So don't panic, okay? And if the leaders, if I mail that out to you guys, if you want to copy it and change that, I'll change it next week. But it's just, it's six for next week on what is it for next week? I've already forgotten. Conflict resolution for next week. Okay, West and six. This is five. So tonight's lesson is what's your purpose? And it's divined. It's come out of your personal mission statement. And so as you work through your personal mission statement, you go to open group. I didn't see. I came in just a little. How many newcomers here tonight? Don't have any? All right. Okay, so that reminds me to tell you this. You know, I just really, I say this everyone hadn't said it in a while, but you know, if in terms of, there's a big push from the pulpit last week at our church, and I'm sure at your church, to remind people to come to Easter. But one of the coolest things as you go through, if you go through 12-step, the last step, if I'm not mistaken, is to go out and serve others. There's an outward focus of that. And so if you really want to be encouraged, I'm hoping that, you know, the lectures, the curriculum, your closed group, it all encourages you. The Word of God encourages you. But it is a really special treat if you can have an impact in the lives of others. I would encourage you to tell people you're coming to Prodigal. Tell three people this week, and if one of them doesn't show up, I'll be surprised. So I'd ask you to, I've been on my heart to remind you that. So since there's no newcomers tonight, what a perfect opportunity. So as we go through our curriculum, let me just remind you where we are. You know, we've gone through hope. It starts with a hope in Jesus Christ. We talk about the prodigal story, which is a story about the value of a single lost soul. And then that the process takes time. There's no quick fix. So we're setting up for this journey of this 20-week curriculum that sometimes goes on 40 and 60 weeks or whatever it is. And then there's the manual that we ascribe to, our instruction book. And we talked about that last week. And tonight we're talking about purpose. After we leave this, we'll be talking about it's a discipleship ministry. It'll talk about how we handle anger and forgiveness and setting boundaries and all of that. And there's a leadership component about how you lead yourself and community and be the new sheriff in town, et cetera, et cetera. So that's our curriculum. But purpose is one of the key points, and we're going to talk about that tonight. So, and why we stress a purpose statement. Let me ask you something. How many people, before they entered this ministry, had a purpose statement? One person, two people. How many did you have it written down somewhere? Okay, so we had one person. Okay, and so not many. And I think that's I didn't. I mean, we started 10 or 12 years ago. I would have been a glassy look, you know. So what does everyone in this ministry want? They want a good plan that works, and so. They want a good plan that works, and the participants want a plan that focuses on the mechanics. Before we talk that back, I wanted to say a plan that works. So I want to tell you a story that I mentioned in your handout, but when I was doing newcomer, we used to have, I think it was 2 weeks or 3 weeks of newcomers class. So we've changed a lot. So I was leading the newcomers class, and there was a lady that came and saw us, and she came back the second week, and she was so proud of what she had done and the steps she had made. And she was a really nice lady. And some of you have been here have heard this, but those that haven't, I think it's the best example about purpose that I have. And she began to tell the story about how she had made some ground this week. And she started to tell everybody there, and there was probably 8 or 10 people in that newcomer class. And she said, well, my daughter, her prodigal, you know, I set down the rules that you know, some of the rules you gave me. And well, first rule is, you know, after 1 week in prodigal, it's probably not a good time to go change everything at the house and lay down a bunch of rules. But that's what she did. It happens. And so her prodigal ran away. And so she ran away, and her siblings told her she was at the Greyhound bus station. So she told us that what I did is I didn't tell her she had to come home. I just went down to the Greyhound. I couldn't stand the thought of her going to my sister's in California on a Greyhound bus. So I got her out of the bus station. I bought her a plane ticket, and I took her over to the airport, and she flew to California. And so everybody in the group was, their mouths were open, you know, and I'm, you know, so here's a thing in Prodigal. When someone asks you, instead of saying, "What in the world were you thinking?" you say, "Help me understand something." So that's a key. If one of your leaders says, "Help me understand," it's a bad sign. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, leaders, I apologize. But anyway, this lady, what I asked her was, we will try to ask questions. And we wanted, because she was really serious about this whole issue. And I said, "Let me ask you something. What does a win look like for you? What is your purpose in life?" And she was actually overly confident and flippant to the story at that point. And then she kind of switched. And I remember she started crying and she said, "All I've ever really wanted to be was a good mom. I just want to be my daughter's friend, and I want to be a great mom." And all of us that wanted to say, "What in the world were you thinking?" got it. And I said, "You know what? If that's your purpose, I can totally understand why you took a child that was running away and saved them from getting on the Greyhound and put them on a plane. I get that." So what we're going to do in Prodigal is figure out if that's the best purpose, if that's the way that God would have handled that situation, the scripture would lead us, but I totally get it. So working on your purpose and one that works is really important. So what participants want to plan, and when we work on the plan, we often focus on the mechanics. We want to keep it simple, set boundaries, establish consequences, and established on a solid paradigm of truth of the Bible, right? But it's got to be consistent with your purpose. And it's got to be written, because when you write it, it means something. I don't believe that at this point, I'd say 99% of the time when I go into a closed group and someone's struggling, and you can tell that they're really not, they're not being clear and focused and whatever, I'll ask them, "Let me ask you this. Let's go back. What is your purpose?" And I don't know that I've ever asked anybody that they really got it. They may have, but I'm going to say 99% of the time they fumble. It's just not on their mind. And if you clearly have a purpose in mind, it changes things. So it's important for us to talk about it tonight. It's really, I'm trying to emphasize in the time that I have that. So despite these great mechanics and the importance of that, many plans fail. And why do they fail? Mike Tyson tells us why they fail. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. And so Hugh gave that to me, gave me that quote, and I knew I was going to use it some night. And I just thought it fit in well here, because we're all going to get punched in the face. You're probably here because you got punched in the face. And so you want a plan, but how do you stay on plan? And we're going to talk about that for a second, but we'll keep Mike Tyson in mind for a few slides. But a man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. If you don't have a purpose, there's really no plan that can be put in place. Because if your purpose is to be the best mom, your plan looks a certain way. If your purpose is to live in a certain neighborhood with a certain income, then your purpose in life looks different, and the way you parent looks different, and the way your plan might look different. And so we have to figure out in this journey what your purpose is. And I would tell you, your purpose will allow you to stay on plan. It'll help you get up off the canvas after you get punched in the mouth. And I want to try to make that point tonight. And so that's why the purpose, it keeps you on point. So what's your purpose? You know, the open group, if you've gone through open group, most of the people in this room, there's no newcomers, so everyone is probably at this point should have a purpose statement. They should all be written down. You should all know it, okay? But what's the single, you know, when you have to define what your purpose is, you have to come up with the answer to what's the meaning of life? Does your life have a clearly defined purpose? What would a win look like at the end of the day? What would a win look like at your funeral when people talked about you? Those are the kind of questions you have to ask to figure out how to get there, because most of us get up in the morning, try to get to work, get home safely, and life comes at us and we just put out fires for 80 years and then we're done. I think that's what most of the world does. But if you have to think about your purpose, you got to answer those questions and say, I want to get to that point. How do I have to act? What do I have to do every day, despite getting hit in the mouth occasionally, to keep on that journey? And so if you had a purpose and you've got it written down, I would ask you this. You want to ask yourself from time to time, this is my purpose. So my family and close friends, would they be shocked if I told them what my purpose was? Does it look like I'm living out my purpose? Would they judge what I tell them my purpose is or the way they've seen me act this year? What do they think seems to drive me as opposed to what I say? If I tell them that's my purpose and they see my calendar and my pocketbook and my time, talent, and treasure, does that line up? Those are the kind of things that you would ask in doing that. But we believe, as you know, that it's not very subtle here, that we believe that since the Bible is our guide, that a God-driven purpose will bring you ultimate joy. We think that is a principle. It is a lighthouse that doesn't shift or move. And if you're no matter how you term it, no matter how you put it into words, I believe that based on the Bible, not Jay Burns, but on Jesus Christ, God himself, that if whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If we glorify God in all of our actions, I believe that will serve us best. So how can we stay on a plan to bring him glory? How can we stay on a plan if we can get to the point where we think a God-given purpose is the best thing, and to bring him glory every day would be the way to do that? How do we do that? And I believe it's our view of God. We come back to this unapologetically. So I'll just read this. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Worship is either pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. In other words, worship is as good as it gets, or mediocre or lukewarm, depending on your view of God. I mean, isn't that true? I mean, I had a great week with God last week. I couldn't wait to get to church. We had a service that was almost all worship. I mean, it was a lot of songs and whatever, and it was perfect for me. It hit me right where I was on Sunday. Maybe the Sunday before, it would have hit a dud because I didn't have the best week with God. I was too busy. But what comes into our minds when you think I'm in is the most important thing. For this reason, the most important question before the church is always God himself. And the most important fact about any man is not what he at a given time may think or say, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. If we have a high view of God, it allows us to stay on plan. If we know his love for us, his care for us, his power, his gift of the Holy Spirit, all those things, as we begin to grasp who he is, it makes us, we don't serve God, because we're trying to achieve a certain goal. We serve him because that goal's already been achieved. He achieved it for us. And out of a motivation for him and the love he has for us, so the more we know what he's done for us, the more we can stay on plan. So as Steve said, as cruel as it is, plans fail. I mean, in this group, I guarantee you can come up with a good plan. But plans fail for a lack of faith. That includes me. That includes Jenny. That includes everybody in here. We fail from day to day for a lack of faith and an incorrect view of God. Are just losing focus, no clearly defined purpose. And so what is your purpose? Your view of God and what you believe in will determine your purpose. Your purpose determines your plan. And the prodigal paradigm here is that our purpose is to glorify God, and we can go all through those issues just like I got through saying. It's how you live your life. It's your character. It's your choices. It's your plan and your witness. So as I read, it's interesting that this goes over into a book I read last year, I think I've mentioned it a few times, called Essentialism. It's really helped me in terms of determining the principle of the book is this, that it's easy to say, in a guy that's busy and juggling a lot of balls like many of you are in the room, it said anybody can say no to bad things, you know, but it's hard to say no to good things and hard to say no to really good things so that you can do the best thing. And a purpose keeps you focused on doing the very best thing. And that's helped me with my calendar. Jenny might argue, but it definitely has helped me with my calendar in terms of staying on a purpose. And in that book, he interviewed, this is a guy, a PhD from Stanford. And he goes to many of the Forbes and Fortune 500 companies. And he said the single thing that defines satisfaction in the workplace and the bottom line and net profits is one thing. If he could pick one thing in a company that makes a successful company, both financially and in a workplace, the number one thing is clarity of purpose, clarity of focus. Everyone knows where we're going. And so I think, wouldn't that be true of you if everyone knew where you were going? And that's why purpose is important. So God has a plan for us, gang. It says in Ephesians 2:10 and Hebrews 12:1, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. That should be sobering, right? And when we're enabling and off trying to do God's work, we cannot be doing the work he has planned for us. Hebrews 12:1, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. We have a plan. So we've got to decide who sits on the throne. And so I want to close with one story just from last week. And a lot of people think that, you know, I have it, you know, figured out. And I can tell you that, still laughing? Yeah, So I'm in the same ship you guys are, right? My prodigal has not come home, all right? So what I did is I did something last week that I haven't done in a long time, is I got my hopes up, all right? I let my guard down, right? So, and I can tell you, if we had a dinner, I could tell you all the things that began to lead up to a weekend where I thought my son was going to have a spiritual retreat that might change him. Initially, I was just like you are, just when I said that. Skeptical, probably won't work. Right. But then things begin to fall into place, and the prayer warriors begin to stack up, and people began to walk into my life that have never walked in, and I literally thought they might be angels. And I began to have at least 200 people that were praying for that weekend. And I wanted it in the back of my mind because there's so many things going on in his life that I want it for him, right? I mean, I'm going to be okay. But I just would love for him to have that freedom that John Miller had up here. I mean, I just think about that. You all thought about that when he said that. Wish my prodigal could say that. And I let my guard down. And despite the fact that I really felt God was talking to me and that this weekend I could have hope and it was okay for me to have hope, it just bombed. Okay, it just didn't happen. And I won't go into the details, but not only did he not go, he went off the grid. I thought he might be dead for a few hours. I really, everything went through my mind. And so I wrestled with God for a while on that one, right? What were you doing? And as I was sitting there, and it happened pretty quickly, is I had to decide who sat on the throne. I had to remember what, I just got punched in the mouth. And I had to remind myself, what am I telling you every week? I just laid a prodigal podcast, a pilot down in Nashville. And the culmination of that story was about, I don't know he's going to take away the snakes. You know, I don't know that he's going to take away the snakes, but I'm giving you a bronze snake to look at. And so I was sitting there wrestling with God, and I went, what would I tell them? I would tell them to look at the snake. I would tell them what is truth. God sitting on the throne, those 200 prayers were there for a reason. God heard them. He has a plan for my son's life. And it wasn't that weekend, right? I just got out in front of him a little bit. He understands it. He gives me grace. And truth brought me home because I got back on my purpose. It was to glorify him. How can I glorify him? I'm not bragging. I could have never done that years ago, right? I'm telling you that I used the same thing I'm telling you last week. I'm in the same battle you are, and it makes a difference. So your purpose is important. Rick Warren says, understanding can wait. I don't understand to this day what's going on, right? But obedience cannot wait. God doesn't owe us an explanation. Partial obedience is disobedience. And I had to remind myself. So I'm going to close with Piper's statement, God's most glorified in us when we're most satisfied with him. So last week, in the midst of sadness, confusion, pain, I had to remind myself who he was, and very quickly, I was satisfied with him. I trusted him. He's got a plan, and he got us back on track, and Jenny and I had a great night. And so I'm not saying, I please don't think that that's, I'm trying to encourage you. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying that these things make a difference, and I have to use them every day just like you do. So I pray that you can realize how important it is, and you can have your purpose statement at the forefront of your mind so that you can use that every week. And when you're struggling and you feel like it's getting chaotic, have something that reminds you to say, help me understand why I'm doing this. You ask yourself the question, what is my purpose? Who is God? What do I think about God in this moment? And I think it's going to help us as we go through the rest of this curriculum to talk about how we handle forgiveness and the tough things like anger and the importance of prayer. So I hope this helps you frame where we're going in the next few weeks and really frames the rest of your life. Lord, I just thank you for, again, the wisdom that you give me through the Bible, the privilege it is to humbly try to encourage others with the words you've given me, the comfort that you've given Jenny and I. We just want to give out to people who are hurting. I pray that you would take... It's hard to change. I pray you'd take the pride away. You'd take off the scales of their eyes and realize that I need to start parenting with a purpose. I need to start living my life with a purpose to glorify you. Help me to know you better, to grow more in love with you, grasp the fact that you love us. So I pray that starts tonight, and I'll be with every closed group tonight, and let the blessings honor you. In Christ's name we pray, amen.